Good morning. I don't have my mic on. Good morning. I appreciate very much the songs that Roger led because they remind us of our devotion, and it also, they reminded us of the fact that we are a part of something greater. And I think a lot of humans miss out on that. They miss out on the fact that they are a part of something greater. Their normal experience oftentimes is less than joyful. You've met successful people. I have too. They have lots of money. They seem to have all the toys and things, but they're not very happy inside. I have some friends in Tacoma that left the corporate madness because it didn't provide what it promised. And maybe that's your experience too. And it's hard because when we come to that point in life, we have one of two options. When we come to that point where we realize there's got to be more than this, we have one of two options. One, we dig in deeper into the rat race. That's what happens a lot of time. And we become more disillusioned and more bitter. Or two, we accept that with humility and with conviction and begin to bravely look at ourselves to see and discover and determine what is it that I am missing. In Acts chapter 2, Peter gives this amazing explanation of what's going on before them, and as he lays all of this out, they have to make a decision. They have to either continue in their madness, and I think sometimes that's a good way to describe basic life on the planet. It's madness sometimes. So either continue in their madness, or listen to what Peter's saying and adjust what's going on inside here and ultimately what's going on in my life. We believe that God created humanity and that He breathed life into humanity. And He did that because He had hoped that you and I would seek Him, reach out, and find Him. Because that's really where the big picture experience comes into play. That's really what we were designed for. That is the something greater that we were designed for. But we won't find it if we continue with the mindset that the world provides, that the things of this earth will give you happiness. God made a plan that makes it possible for us to experience something greater, to seek Him, to reach out, and to find Him. You know, oftentimes we depend on the wrong things, and that's why we don't find that something greater. We depend on the institutions of society. Anybody put their hope in politics lately? Oftentimes in media, the news and the information we get is biased. And we realize we can't trust that. When someone comes at you with a slanted interpretation of what's going on, especially when it's their job to inform us and tell us what's going on, if it's slanted, if it's biased, you can't depend on it. It's not the truth. Families are breaking up at an alarming rate. Things just don't seem solid. Sometimes even the church doesn't seem like the place where we can be ourselves and find solid footing. Oftentimes things let us down. People let us down. Circumstances let us down. And that's why I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to look at what's going on inside your life. What do you depend on? What is your priority in life? And the only thing that's going to stand and hold is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This has to be our message. This has to be our commitment to life. And not only Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but what comes after? Because Jesus didn't die. He was raised to life. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news, and that good news is that Jesus lived, He died, He was buried, and raised again. And that's our hope. And when we connect with that, then we begin to find something to depend on, something that's solid, something that lasts, something that's enduring. And this was Peter's message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. As all of this, what seemed to be chaotic to the people as they were watching what was taking place as the Holy Spirit was being poured out. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, Peter says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. This Jesus, the Nazarene, was a man pointed out to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope, because you will not leave me in Hades or allow your Holy One to see decay. You revealed the paths of life to me. You filled me with goodness in your presence. Brothers, I can confidently speak to you about the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing this in advance, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not left in Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay.'" God's plan for humanity, God's plan for us to experience that something greater, is revealed in this passage that we just read. And I want us to notice three indicators that this plan, this message, is something that we can depend on. That first indicator is the fact that all signs point to the plan. All signs point to Jesus. That there is one way. And these signs were supernatural events. And we understand that if you see a sign, it's directing you someplace. It's telling you to go in a certain direction. And the signs that God did through Jesus, these miraculous supernatural events, were pointing to something. We're pointing to something greater. We're pointing to this bigger picture thing that we need to survive. And our faith, as they were recorded in Scripture, is a response to these. Someone might ask, well, okay, you're talking about these miracles that took place in the ministry of Jesus. Why don't we have these today? Why don't these amazing things happen today? And I want to get to that in a minute. But the things that we do notice are things that capture our attention. If you've been a student of Scripture, you may have a favorite miracle. Do you have a favorite miracle? Do you have a favorite sign that was given by Jesus to prove that He was the Son of God? Mine is the one about the man born blind. And it's because I lived my early adult years in blindness, meaning I thought I knew everything. I thought I was sophisticated. And you know, there was no real reason for me even to feel that way. I was just a knucklehead kid born in Detroit, lived in Phoenix. But somehow we think that's good enough to make me the authority on life. You know what I mean by that? We just think we're bigger than we are. And that's where humility comes in. You have to realize you don't have all the answers. And this idea of Jesus touching us and helping us to see, that gets my attention. It challenges me. That means I have to admit that I don't have all the answers. And outside of Christ, I don't have anything. I don't know what your favorite miracle is, but I hope you have one. I hope in that it speaks to your heart. If you don't have one, you know, get one. Because it speaks to your heart of maybe the transformation that God can create in your life. Maybe one of those miracles speaks directly to a struggle that you're having. Maybe something that you're stuck on. I can't get past this. The signs are intended to teach us something, to point to something. So, today, do I need mud put on my eyes? That's how Jesus healed the blind man that we read about in John chapter 9. He made mud, he spit on the ground, made mud, applied it to his eyes. I get caught up on the spitting on the ground, making mud, and putting it in my eyes. But if that's what it took, I would do it. But I believe it happened. I believe that that took place. And because I read it in Scripture, but it's so written for my life. And there's a parallel. And this is how God operates, is a parallel from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the Exodus, we read of these, we call them the 10 plagues, but they were 10 supernatural events, times when God intervened in history, just like He did with the blind man. God intervened in history. And, you know, thankfully for humanity, God didn't have to repeat those miracles every time to get our attention. We are able to read about those and make the same decision. That God is awesome and active. But do you think that if you could experience some of these signs, you would be a more faithful person? Yeah. We say that. If I had walked with Jesus, boy, I would be like sold out on fire for Christ. If I would have walked with Him. If I saw the miracles, I would be the strongest Christian in this congregation. But that's not how God operates. Because that's not faith. That's not faith. So that's the first indicator in this passage. Peter tells us that God did these signs through Jesus to point us to the truth. Second indicator is that this plan unfolded with wisdom and foreknowledge. Did Jesus know He was going to the cross? And we see, I don't know if it's fear, as the night before He is crucified, he is in the garden with His disciples, and he's asking them to pray with Him, and we see this passion literally pouring out, his life passion pouring out, because He doesn't want to go through this. He doesn't want to do this. And so, yeah, He knew this was coming. But if we were Jews, we knew it. We should have known it was coming too. The passage that Rick read, it gives me goosebumps when I hear that thing. It is so specific about what was going to happen to Jesus. And I suppose this is why there was such a response on the day of Pentecost. Is it just took a couple of A plus B to get us to C and to... That was pretty clever. I just kind of made that up. A plus B to get us to C. Is this being recorded? That was good. Every now and again that comes out. And boy, that's exciting. It didn't take much for them to realize, man, what have we done? What have we done? And the fact that God used us to kill His Son. He knew we were going to do that. He knew humanity was going to do that. Passage that Peter specifically refers to is the fact that David said that his body was not going to be left in the grave. It wouldn't see decay. This was all a part of God's plan. This passage in Zechariah, another one where in the details, then I will pour out my spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, and they will look at me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly for him as one who weeps for a firstborn. We're not told about this, but if I was there, and I came to the conclusion that I did this, and I would have been in a crowd. I would have been yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Because he represented everything opposite of Judaism, and he was going against the teachings of the Pharisees and all of the rabbis of their time. And I would have felt justified because this man is not telling the truth, according to what I think. I would have been in that bunch. So, that God would use history to accomplish his plan, that makes me stand up. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Then the third indicator that this is something we can depend on is that it was a forecasted plan, and we've talked a little bit about that. The statement that David makes in this passage was made almost 1,000 years when David made this statement. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope because you will not leave me in Hades or allow your Holy One to see decay. He made that 1,000 years before it actually happened. If we spend time in the Old Testament, we can discover that Jesus was to be crucified, that he was going to be placed in a tomb, and then he would rise from the grave. What an incredible prediction. Paul says it another way, that all of this happened according to the scriptures. And I think that is so significant for us to realize that we just didn't buy into some myth because we're weak humans and we needed something to get us through. What we believe is based in history. And maybe we would have been the ones who saw it unfolding and said, "Man, I can't wait. I can't wait." Because this is what we've been created for. This is what we've been created to experience. This fullness of life in Christ. This release of our sins. This forgiveness of the things that we've done wrong. This empowerment to live the life that God intends us to live. That all comes in the plan.
Amen.
That's all a part of the plan. We're not left alone. It's what we were made for. It's what we were made to experience. And for us to be able to live that with passion. I wanted to close by looking at... So it's because David knows that death is not the end. And that's the big thing. There's more to this life than we can knock on. And David knows this. And this is for us. This is for us. It says, I'm starting in verse 25. I saw the Lord ever before me. He's talking about the fact that he can live his life in the presence of his Creator. Or he lived his life in the presence of his Creator. I saw the Lord ever before me. I'm not alone. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I like what James said in our Bible class this morning when we were talking about the enraged dragon. And what are you going to do when the enraged dragon comes after you? And James says, I'm going to stand up and fight. And I said, I'm on your team. I want to be with you. There's nothing we need to fear. We can take on the enemy. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope. Because you're not going to leave us there. David said, you revealed the paths of life to me. You revealed your plan to me. And I'm beginning to experience something greater than humans usually experience. Because your Holy One did not see decay, I have hope. And I want to remind you and encourage you that that plan works every time it's put into action. God's plan works every time it is put into action. And I want you to walk with that same confidence. As a matter of fact, I want you to fly with me. I want you to fly with me as we assume the responsibility of God's people in the city of Prescott. As we continue our ministries and become more effective in getting this message out to people. All of the people that we see that don't know Christ, they're looking for something greater. They're looking for this greater experience. I was, maybe you were. As a matter of fact, I know I've had conversations with some of you. You either were just despaired with life, or you realize that sinning isn't really all that fun. And you came to realize that something greater was by faith. And that's what everybody is looking for. That's what people are looking for. That's the message I want to share with people that I come in contact with. That there is something greater. You were designed for something greater. Let me talk to you about something greater. I want you to fly with me really quick just to say, in Washington, we always see these huge flocks of geese flying over. I don't know if you see those here. If I was a goose, I think I would avoid Arizona because it's too hot. I'd fly someplace else. But And they're flying in that V formation, right? And they're changing the goose that's in front. So the work is spread out amongst all those folks, and they can either get north or they can go south, but they can accomplish what they're supposed to do. That's what the church is. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to investigate the plan. To look into it, to look into Scripture, to, you know, everything I've told you can be checked out. That God's plan was announced 1,000 years ago. That one there, that blows me away. Investigate that, check that out for yourself. Let's encourage one another to fly as we sing this song.